room full of big people will be a change. That helps. Thank you. let us pray, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you ever so much for the much needed rain that we've received. And I thank you, Lord, for your son, for Christmas, for everything. Because without your son coming for us, none of this is even possible. And all this in your name we pray. Amen. We drew little cards for who was going to be teaching which part, whether it was faith, love, or hope. And we drew it the first time, and something happened, so we had to draw them again. I got the same one twice. So I took that as a sign. It's like, okay, God wants me to teach on faith. And then I got to thinking about it, and I'm asking God, I'm like, okay, you know, what do you want me to talk about? And all I really got was, teach what you know. And anytime I've been in the back with the kids, whether here or at CEF, God will bring you through whatever it is that you're going to be teaching. And so what I know about faith is what God has done for me. So this will be more of a testimony. I'll start back with going back a ways. My sister was born about a year and a half after I was, and she was born with what they call trisomy 14. And if you want to look that up on the internet, it's extremely rare chromosomal disorder. And if there was a problem that a person could have, she had it. She would have grand mal seizures. She was on medicine her entire life. There was dental problems. She had a lot of things wrong with her. Her body was broken. She couldn't talk. And so it's not like we could ever have, you know, conversations or anything like, you know, hi sis, how you doing? It wasn't like that. She was very, she had a lot of problems. And the doctors, when she was born, the doctor said, well, you know, she might live 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks came and went. And then the doctor said, well, you know, she's probably only going to live about 2 months. 2 months came and went. Then the doctor said, well, she probably won't live past two. And then 2 years came and went. And the doctors finally said, we have no idea why she's alive. And all along my entire childhood, as far back as I can remember, I asked God, I'm like, why is she like the way she is and me like the way I am? I mean, I'm not perfect, but I wasn't like her. And so, you know, your mind plays tricks on you and people say things and it makes you wonder. And so my whole life, I wondered why my sister was the way she was. And it's like, why is she down here and she has to go through all this? And she had there was a lot that she went through. And when she died, she died at age of 23. And when she died, I was back east. I was in Virginia. And it was early in the morning. And I had a vision of my sister at the foot of my bed. And she said to me, and she had never spoke any words in her entire life. She spoke to me, and I could tell that her body wasn't the same body that she had down here. It was more of a heavenly body, I guess you could say. And she said, it's time for me to go, Bubba. And in my family, I am Bubba. That's what all my sisters call me. That's what my brother calls me. My dad called me that. I am Bubba. And she said, it's time for me to go. And I'm like, and it was a bittersweet. I mean, I knew that where she was going was going to be in a much better place than down here. But it was still It was still had sorrow. And then several years later, about 5 years later, and I didn't ask God for this. This was just something that God gave me. It was during the middle of the day, and I was just kind of, I wasn't really daydreaming, but I was just kind of like spacing off, you know, what you kind of do sometimes. Yeah, okay. And God gave me a vision of where my sister was. And I remember it still to this day. She was in this beautiful robe. And I could hear, but not with my ears. I could hear, the best way I can describe it is I could hear with my heart, with my soul, if that makes any sense. God was here. He was on his throne, and I could see him standing on his throne, and I could see where his hands would have been. He was sitting on his throne, and there were steps leading up to it. And my sister was in this beautiful robe, and her body was the heavenly body. It wasn't this. It wasn't broken. It was what God had intended her to be. And she had one foot on one of the steps, and she was playing this harp. Now, down here on earth, there was no way that she could have played a harp. I mean, I don't know of anybody that actually plays a harp, you know, now. But she was playing this most beautiful harp, and it was the most beautiful music I had ever heard, but I couldn't hear it with my ears. I could hear it here, if that makes any sense. And the angel that was like my escort, I guess you could say, he didn't say it with words, but I could hear it, and he said, okay, it's time to go. And I'm like, okay. And that was it. And it meant a lot to me because it gave me faith knowing that just because of everything that she went through down here, I knew what her body would look like the way that God had intended. And that wasn't something that I asked for. And it relieved a lot of questions, a lot of things that I had going on in my mind. Fast forward several years later, I was back right where Tony is, as a matter of fact. Right in that seat, Tony. And Cindy Brown had come up here, and a couple of weeks before that, I had told God, I'm like, I will do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But if you want me to do something, just make sure you say it loud, because I'm a little hard of hearing. Okay. I didn't hear anything for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, okay. Cindy Brown comes up here, and she was giving us a little, not a speech, but she was telling us about Good News Club and Children's Evangelism Fellowship, which me and my wife and Carol is with. There's a couple more of us that have been involved with it over the years. And so she's up here and she's going on. She's like, you know, we would really like to have, you know, some men on board because it would really help out with, you know, making sure it's balanced and everything. And God tells me, I'm up there where Tony is. God says, I want you to do this. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, you know, I was going to talk to her afterwards. You know, you have that little question and answer period. I was going to talk to her after that. Cindy, you know, she's on and she's explaining, you know, about things about CEF and Good News Club and what we did and stuff like that. And God says in a little bit louder voice, I want you to do this. And I'm like, okay, all right. And it was pretty loud. And I thought, you know, other people heard. And Cindy's going on. She's explaining a little bit more. And then in the loudest voice I have ever heard in my entire life, this was like walls of Jericho kind of loud. God says, I want you to do this. And I'm like, okay. And I'm ducking. I'm hiding underneath the bench in the booth. And I get down and I'm like, okay, all right, all right. I hear you. He's like, well, you said say it loud. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'll give you that. And so I've been teaching CEF for 6 or 7 years. been teaching in the back with the kids, and 15 years ago, if you had asked me, it's like, what do you think you're going to be doing in 15 years? Teaching kids would not have been at the top of my list. But this is what God wants me to do, and so this is what I do. Just recently, I taught the lesson before, and it's about Noah, and it's one of my most favorite stories about the Bible. And just recently, God gave me a little bit of insight this one time. He's like, well, why don't you measure it out? You know, kind of give the kids a visual about how big Noah's Ark really was. You know, because, you know, we think it's really big, but until you actually get out and see how big it really is, it doesn't quite click. And so I went out and I've got one of those wheeled tape measures, and I went out and I walked it off about how far, you know, I looked at the measurements that are in the Bible because it tells you how long it is. And it depends on how long a cubit really was back then, but it at least gives you a ballpark figure. And so I walked it off, and I walked it off with the kids, and I'm like, okay, you see that pole way down there? This is the first time that I taught the lesson. You see that pole way down there? You see where we're at? That's how long Noah's Ark was. Now, that time, it wasn't raining. And the kids were like, wow, hey, that's pretty neat. And so this year, I had to teach the same lesson, Noah's Ark, and I had to teach it at Woodson. Now, normally on Tuesday, we would teach West Street first, but because of Veterans Day, the lessons got kind of rotated one day. And so we're over at Woodson. And those kids over there, I knew I had never heard me teach Noah's Ark that way. And it was pouring down rain. And I'm like, oh, come on. And I'm talking to God. I'm like, you know, how can I can't teach the lesson this way. You know, I don't want to take the kids out in the rain because, I mean, it was coming down pretty good. And I'm like, you know, I don't want the kids to get wet. Can you give me just a little window, just a small window, just long enough for me to go out, measure it off, show the kids how big it was, and then we can come back inside, and then you can let it rain some more. And right before before I started the lesson, the rain, it was raining good, and then it tapered off, and it was tapering off pretty fast. By the time that I got to that point in the lesson where I was going to take them outside to measure it off, it had completely stopped raining. There was no rain. And I'm like, I get outside, and I'm looking the whole time. I'm doing the lesson, right? I'm kind of cheating. And I'm like, oh, yes. All right. This is wonderful. And so I take the kids outside, and I'm like, hurry. God gave us a little window so we can go outside and see how big Noah's Ark really was. And I was all excited. And I take the kids out there, and because I broke the group up into three small groups. And then I had an adult and a kid at each corner. And then we could all see each other, so you could tell how wide it was and how long it was. And then I explained to him, I'm like, okay, it was probably taller than the top of that building right there, because it was roughly like 45 feet tall. And the kids were like, wow, that's really neat. And you could see the gears click. And I'm like, okay, that worked. I'm happy with that. We get back inside. The whole time that we're walking back to the classroom, I'm telling God, I'm like, thank you ever so much for just giving me my small window so that I can teach the kids about Noah's Ark. The next week, we're over at West Street. And once again, it's pouring down rain. It's like Noah's Ark kind of pouring down rain. And I look outside. I'm like, okay, God, I need one more. I need one more window. Just give me one window so I can take them outside and we can walk it off. And we get up to that part of the lesson, and it went from rain to no rain, like that. And I'm like, that's pay dirt right there. I'll take that any day of the week. And so we go outside, and we mark, you know, I walked it all off. We had one group of the kids at one end of the play field, and then at the other end of the play field was where I walked with the kids. I'm like, okay, see the group of kids down there? That's how long Noah's Ark was. And once again, you could see the gears click. And it gives me faith. It gives me hope. Not only when I hear God's word, but I hear it loud enough to where I can actually hear it. And when I see God answer prayers, when it comes to things like that, to where you know that I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. It's a good feeling. I've one more quick little story. When I was in the Navy, I was going up for my surface warfare pin. I told Mike this story. And we would have to do full power runs. And every now and then, certain people would be able to go up on the bridge and actually steer the ship while you're doing a full power run. Now, a full power run, okay, you know, imagine taking a top fuel dragster and going full speed for several miles. And that would still not compare to a full power run on an Aegis cruiser. We had 80,000 horsepower. And we were going max speed. And we did it for, we actually did it for like 10 days. Because we went from Bosnia down to the Persian Gulf. And being up on the bridge, controlling a ship that's doing 80,000 horsepower, is nothing compared to what I have felt while I've been teaching the kids. And it just, it gives me hope, and hope will help strengthen my faith, knowing that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And watching these kids that I've seen these kids grow over the years. And this year, I can honestly say that I think this is probably the best that they've sung, the loudest that they've sung of all the years that I've been doing it. And I've been doing it for a while. And I can't tell you how to build your faith. I can't do that. It's different for each person. I could just, hopefully, my testimony of how God has built my faith over the years and through various circumstances, I just hope that that has brought something into your life. And that's pretty much all I got. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the rain. And I thank you, Lord, for stopping the rain, because that was really cool. And I thank you, Lord, for the children, for their willingness to learn, because they're the army of tomorrow. And whatever they learn now they'll use that later. And I thank you, Lord, once again for sending your son, because he is the reason. All this in your name we pray. Amen. And Steve.
Morning. Good morning. Well, that sounds loud, huh? Well, good morning, everybody. Didn't the kids do great? Oh, they did awesome. That was. Joel's right. The kids did absolutely awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. And it is, let's see. Welcome to Harvest Christian Center. Now I feel better. Because I like to start that off that way. I'm going to pray. Lord, I just ask this morning that you empty me. Lord, I ask that you empty me and that anything that comes out be only of you and nothing of me. Lord, I ask for a blessing upon each and every one here. And Lord, I thank you for the little ones that came today. What a blessing it was to us. Lord, we just ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Joel. That was very good. Thank you. Like Joel said, Lori came up to me and said, would you speak for 10 minutes? And then she said, it's going to be on faith, hope, or love. And then she gave us we got to draw out, and I got hope. And I was like, cool. Right? I was really happy. And, I titled the message this morning, Christmas Hope. Psalm 42:5, David's talking to himself, and he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? He's talking to himself, and he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The standard dictionary definition, and one that is generally accepted by most people of the world of hope, and this is a definition of hope, is to feel something desired may happen. You desire something to happen. That's hope. The words feel and may, they're a little vague, huh? But that's the definition that the world has for hope. As a kid, I hoped for that perfect Christmas gift. And even after I received it, it failed to make me happy. Many times I hoped, I did this, I hoped for success in sports. I did a lot of crazy things in order to hope that that would happen. I hoped for success in school. Those are the things I also failed at. Any of you did this? I hoped for family Christmas gatherings to be special times. And most of the time my hope was dashed. Amen. Anybody ever had that at family time? I put my hope in people, expecting them to fill an emptiness that only our Savior can fill. I hoped for some situations in my life to be different. Anyone do this? You hope for that situation to be different, and then it doesn't work, so you change on to another one, right? The next one. It's like, oh, okay, I'll just go to this other one. I hope this one changes too. God's word tells us that Jesus is our hope. He's our hope, our joy, and our peace. And that describes the absolute essence of Jesus, right? Hope, joy, and peace. Amen? But I have found, does anyone else do this? Do you search for those? We search for hope, joy, and peace. And I've tried to do things that would help me find those hope, joy, and peace, but it's usually just left me emptier. Romans 15:13, this is what Paul says. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christmas is a season full of hope and wonder. It is a time filled with joy. On Christmas, we celebrate the hope that was wrapped up in a newborn babe. He was lying in a manger. He was lying in a stable. His birth was simple and his birth was humble. Yet all of heaven rejoiced when they saw him. Every bit of heaven rejoiced when they saw him. Wise men came from far away just to give him gifts and to adore him. Listen to this. Philip Brooks, I think, captured the heart of Christmas with this line. He wrote, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And listen to this line, okay? This is the line from there. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In the little town of Bethlehem, God met the hopes of every human being on the face of the earth with the birth of Jesus Christ. That was our hope. I found this devotion and I'm going to read it. Okay. And this is the devotion. It says, we talk a lot about hope. We hope the weather will be good for our family vacation. We hope that our favorite team will win the Super Bowl or at least make the game. We hope that we get just what we want for Christmas. But for many of us, hope lacks a sense of certainty. It is more like a wish. Something that we want to happen, but have no way of knowing that it will happen. So we keep our fingers crossed and we hope that everything will go the way we want it to. The reality is that often life doesn't turn out the way we hoped it would. Is there anyone else that says that? Hope's fragile. When life is disappointing, our optimism is replaced by feelings of discouragement and hopelessness. Before long, we run the risk of becoming cynics who believe that there's nothing in which we can confidently hope in. Think about this. This was the landscape of life when Jesus entered the world. The prevailing mood of Israel was anything but hope. That once proud nation of Israel was now a puppet state of the pagan empire, Rome. The common person lived under harsh and very exaggerated requirements of the religious community. Okay, it was tough. Centuries before, prophets had promised a deliverer who would restore Israel to its former glory. But it still hadn't happened yet. Into this sense of hopelessness, true hope was born. But the tragedy of the first Christmas was that very few realized hope had been introduced. Hope was introduced. Hope for the forgiveness of sins. Hope for a bright future forever for each and every one of us. Hope for God's presence and power. Hope for God's power in our daily lives. Hope that He would enable us to forget the past and set our sights on stuff that doesn't disappoint us. A hope that because of Jesus is a certainty. I can say that. Is a certainty. And not just another wish dashed on the rocks of reality. This guy writes, I love the honesty of the psalmist who said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Anyone else been there? Right? When you're talking to actually your actual soul, you're saying, why are you down? But it says, we've all been there. But let's not stop there. Keep reading. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Rejoice that Jesus came to give you something better than disappointment. He didn't come here to give us disappointment. And when by faith we embrace Jesus and all that He promised, you can have a hope that is no longer finger crossed, but rather a confident, a courageous optimism that is rooted in the certainty of God's word. This year, I lost my dad. I myself, many of you know, I've had a few medical problems myself. I know that many of these in this room here right now have lost a loved one this year or recently. Many of you have lost a job. Many of you have medical issues yourself, family issues yourself. I want to take a moment to acknowledge that in the midst of Christmas joy, this can be a very hard time. God gave me this last night, and He reminded me of Peter. This is Jesus. Jesus says, he's talking to the disciples, and there's a whole bunch of them. And this is, everyone's there. And this is in John 6. And Jesus says to them, this is John 6, 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. He says that to them. And it says here, many disciples turn away because this was too tough. And I love what Peter said. God gave this to me in the middle of the night, woke me up at 4 a.m. And He says, this is what Jesus says. And then Peter says to Jesus, then Jesus said to the 12, do any of you want to go away? Because right, everyone else has left. They don't like what they heard. And Simon Peter answers him and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I'm like, oh my gosh. That's the hope. Yeah, it may, because at Christmas time, it does sometimes bring out some of the sad stuff and makes you remember. But like Peter says, whom shall we go? Well, where should we go? You have the answer for eternal life. Amen. That's the hope. All right. I pray that this has helped. And I pray that we remember to look to Jesus because Jesus is our hope. Amen. Again, let's give the kids a hand. What a great job they did. Joel, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That was great. Yes. Thank you, Joel. I'm going to pray and then Lori's going to come up and she is going to finish with love. Amen. What a great way to finish, huh? Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for that sacrifice for the babe that laid in the manger. The willingness to do what it was that you did for us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for that hope that abides only in Jesus. Lord, I ask for a special blessing upon each and every one here, Lord, and I ask for a blessing upon Lori as she comes forward right now. We just ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning again. Let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for all the messages that we have heard today. And Lord God, I just ask that everybody has been touched by them. And as I continue to speak about love, I ask that your love is placed on each and every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. So this Christmas season is a time to remember why we have faith, hope, and love. The order is actually really significant. And, you know, it's really funny how when you're reading the Bible, it's important to really pay attention to why he has things in certain order. We start out with finding our faith in God, which leads us to the understanding of the hope we have in Jesus. And that leads us to know about God's unconditional love. You know, sometimes love is hard for us to understand because we get out in the world in the way we're taught. When I was young, we never heard I love you. That just wasn't really something that was said. You know, we knew that we were loved, but we were never told we were loved. So it's kind of hard. I find it interesting that I got love because love has always been something I've had to try to understand because I didn't. And I didn't understand it until I got to know Jesus. And then whole new person did I become because of that. You know, Steve just read what the world says about hope, and I'll tell you what it says about love, unconditional love. You know, you can go and look in Wikipedia and everything else, and it's funny how you can look and see what it says. But then you need to go to this and see what it really means. Okay? So in the Wikipedia, it says that unconditional love is known as an affection without limitations. It can also mean that it's love without conditions. But most will agree that it is a type of love that has no bounds and is unchanging. Okay. We don't see that very much in this world, you know, love that's unchanging. So you see it all the time when we're walking and even around our families, you know. That's something that sometimes we don't portray love to other people like we should. But have you ever noticed why? What are we watching on TV? What are we listening to? These are things that create a whole different new meaning of love to us, and that's where we learn from. But if you're in the Word, you're going to find out it's totally different than what the world teaches you. There's a song. I actually had all these songs run through my head, and I could actually have given you all kinds of songs to let you compare to what Christian music is versus the secular music. But I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to go to one song. And it's a children's song because this is one of my favorite songs. And when I was always feeling down or whenever I felt I needed God, I would always sing this. Well, actually, I didn't really come to know the Lord until I was in my 30s, just so you guys know. So in my 30s, you can imagine me singing the song, Jesus Loves You. Because that's something that those words are powerful. I don't think you realize how powerful they are. You know, and if you read, you know, it's really funny. The Christmas songs we see and we hear during this time of year, we always hear parts of the verses and not all of them, you know. And when we sing them at church, you get to hear all the verses, and they're more impacting, and that's why, because you actually hear all the verses. And did you know there was 5 verses to this song? There is. And it's amazing how each verse helps you more. But the one that really catches me is the chorus, and it says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you hear that? It's because the Bible tells you so. You know, so it's important that if you're not reading the Word, that you really get into the Word. Because how are you going to get to know God if you're not spending time with Him? How are you going to get to know His love without praying with Him, talking with Him, worshiping Him? These are things that are really important. And it's funny because we were doing messages on how to know the Holy Spirit, who the person of the Holy Spirit is. And it got me to thinking, how do you get to know somebody? And we get to know him by becoming friends, by talking with people, by visiting with people. You know, these are things that in order to get to know somebody, you have to spend that time with them. And if you're not, you're never going to get to know them. So if you're not spending time with God, you're never going to really get to know him, and you're never really going to know what unconditional love is. I actually wrote all kinds of things down, but I'm not going off this paper. I'm kind of like skipping through because God's given me something else today. And I was praying. I'm like Steve. I was up early in the morning praying to God about what to talk about today. And it comes down to this. We love because we were first loved. That's found in John, 1 John 4:19. And also in John 4:8, if you go before that, it says, if you don't know God, you will never know God because God is love. So that tells me if you don't know God, you're never going to know love. That's what that tells me. And as the kids were reading up here in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, you know, the first few verses is, you know, they did the very end, but the very beginning is love is patient, love is kind. If you think about it, you know, we think about love as an emotion, but it really isn't. It's something that you have to actually do. You have to act upon it. Now, Pastor Mike has done sermons in the past, and if you've been here long enough, you've always heard this, and it's always stuck in my mind, is that love gives and lust takes. And the reason that stuck in my mind is the fact that if you don't actually think about things, you will end up not being a giver but a taker. It's easy to become that person, and I don't know why. So you can actually make a choice in every decision in your life. You can choose to give or you can choose to take. And, you know, it's one of those things that if you're not praying and walking with God, then you have a tendency to go to the world instead of to God for things. And then you forget what love is and you walk away. I hope I never do that. I know I've thought about doing it, and then God's drawn me back in, and that's why it's important to stay with him in the Bible. So at the beginning of the verse, it says, love is patient. It doesn't say that it simply feels patient. It is patient. It practices patience. It doesn't simply have kind feelings. It does kind things. You know, when you look at someone and you can, you know, I've actually worked around a lot of people, and, you know, the saying sometimes you say to people is, I'm not feeling the love around here. Have you guys ever done that? It's funny that you think about it, but in all actuality, when someone says that, it should draw your attention to the fact that you're not acting in a loving way, which means that your actions are not right. So it does trigger you to think about how you're doing. So your actions can show love, or they can show something else. So why is love the greatest? It isn't our faith that has the power to save us. It's God's love. Faith is our response to that love. It isn't our faith or hope that draws people to Christ. It's the love of Christ we show them that draws them to faith and hope. There would be no faith and no hope if we weren't for love. Love was first and love will be last. God was first and he'll be here at the last. In John 3:16, it reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about that. God loved us so much that he sent his son to save us so we could be reconciled back to him. This season, we talk about Jesus' birth to remind us of his purpose. He was born to save us from our sins by being the ultimate sacrifice. And by this ultimate sacrifice, we are offered the gift of forgiveness and salvation, which is the expression of God's unconditional love to us. I have a story to share. And I almost didn't share it, but when I was talking to my daughter, she let me know that I should tell the story. And the reason I hesitated on it is because it hits really close to home, and I didn't want to get emotional. And then Pastor Mike said, well, you know what, that's part of what you need to share then, you know, and that's basically what it, so here it goes. It's actually a true story. It's a Christian author. It happened in his family. And, you know, things happen in all of our families. But he chose to share about it, and it impacted me. His family had prayed for their father-in-law for a long time. Al was his name. His rough edge was the bottle, and he was an alcoholic. And when he drank, which was always, he didn't get angry. He withdrew. He kind of pulled into a private cell, and when one day he began to turn yellow, he went to the doctor, and sure enough, it turned out to be cancer. He went by himself to get the verdict. They expected that of him. And when he got home, he simply said, I got it. And then he went off by himself. He was the kind of guy who liked people, and people liked him. But when it came to close relationships, he couldn't hack it. It always, there was a distance there. They would look at him staring off into the distance and wonder what was on his mind and what was he thinking. Now, one day, John's mother came to stay with them for a while, and she began to talk with Al about his life and faith. And she said, you know, who knows? I might die first. We don't know when we're going to die. But Al, let me ask you a question. If you should go first, our grandchildren are the same. And if one of those grandchildren asked you, could you have a relationship with God they didn't know about, what would you answer? And he said, I don't think anything's wrong with my relationship with God. And she kept probing, and she said, well, you know, we're all sinners. We need the Lord Jesus, especially sinners. All of us do. We need the Lord Jesus. I read that wrong. We need the Lord Jesus, especially now. And she quoted, Christ died for us even while we were yet sinners. And somehow or another, that broke the ice with him. The great melt of the glacier happened, and before the day was over, he had received the Lord Jesus Christ into his life. The Lord began to do some reconstructive surgery, and he wanted a Bible. And then he began to use the Gospel of John to read every day. Often when they prayed, they would take hands, and toward the end, he would say, let's pray together, and let's do that hand thing. They took him to the hospital on a Friday, and that Friday night, the phone rang, and he wanted to talk to his daughter. They talked a while, excuse me, and then everybody heard him say, I love you too, Daddy, and she hung up. Tears streaming down her face, she had never heard her father say, I love you, and he was shortly gone after that. The last words she ever heard from her dad, and the first time he ever said them to her, I love you. Prayer sometimes waits until the last minute, but you need to know that prayers work. Somebody has prayed for each and every one of us. And wouldn't you like to see those prayers answered? My dad and I talk every Monday. Every Monday we call each other. If he doesn't call, I call him. And until my mom passed away, we never ever said, I love you. And when she passed away, I realized we may never get to say, I love you to them. So I started saying, after our conversation, I love you, Dad. And you know, he never responded. It took about a year. And after a year, before he would get off the phone, he'd go, I love you. Our actions and the way we do things touch people. They touch people. When my dad asked me, how do I know what real love is? I gave him the Bible. And our relationship has changed from one of not wanting to talk to each other to one to where we're close. And today, if he passes away, I will mourn him. Whereas if you would have asked me a year ago, I would not have. So I'm here to tell you today, your prayers work. Love on each other. I'm going to ask Nicole to come up. She's going to sing a special song. It's called Mary, Did You Know? And it captures the real meaning behind Christmas. As we listen to this song, think about it. And if you feel like you just need a touch from God, you guys can come up to the altar. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the best time to come up and get to know Him and learn to share about Him. I'm going to pray really fast. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your mercy and grace, and thank You for loving us unconditionally. Lord God, I just praise You, and I just ask that You just continue to bless each and every person. And as they go out to their Christmas celebrations, let them share the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.